from WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. We are live at New York's Madison Square Garden tonight on the final night of the Republican National Convention. The countdown is on. In less than 2 hours now, President Bush will take the podium and officially accept his nomination to a second term as the most, at the most powerful post on Earth. It's been a week of stirring speeches, long on emotion and denunciation, short on second-term plans, razor-sharp on one message, that George W. Bush is the man to lead the country for the next 4 years. Some GOP strategists have expressed frustration that there's been so little forward vision from the floor so far this week. That leaves it to President Bush to spell out tonight what he would aim to accomplish if reelected. We will be following all of the action at the Garden tonight, and we'll be asking what President Bush needs to say tonight in New York to make his case for a second term. Tonight on Point, live from the Republican National Convention, the countdown to the president's address. We begin tonight with WBUR and On Point reporter Audie Cornish, who's been around town and talking with GOP delegates all week. Audie, thanks for being with us again tonight.
Thank you.
Audie, what are you hearing from the delegates? What are they hoping to hear from the president in his speech tonight?
Well, it's not just GOP analysts who are looking for a forward move agenda or conversation. The delegates have been talking about that as well. I had more than a few people say that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about his leadership in the area of security, and they want all of that conversation to culminate tonight in him standing there and delivering what his forward message is for the next 4 years, what his vision is for tax policy. That came up, but more importantly, the overall fiscal policy and, of course, the war on terror. People were very clear about the fact that they wanted him to be able to show those out in the audience who are on the fence or who are independent voters that he has a very clear vision for what should come next for this country.
And are the delegates feeling confident that they will get that from the president tonight?
Yes, I mean, that's one thing that's been consistent the whole week. The delegates are confident. I've not had anybody say, well, I'm not sure, or maybe he could have done this better, or someone could have done that better. To them, the president has a record that he should be proud of. He should be showcasing that. They also expressed interest in getting away from this talk about Vietnam and John Kerry's record. For them, they say, you know, the president does have a record he could stand on that we as delegates believe in. And, you know, Kerry has a record that has not been talked about enough and should be attacked and poked and prodded a little bit more. In fact, that's a lot about that is a lot of the issue about Kerry's record is what they believe they're going to take home to their voting populace and to argue for the Republican Party's case.
So they feel fully armed. Do they think they've accomplished what they needed to accomplish this week in New York?
They said they do. I mean, most people said that the speeches, Rudy Giuliani, Arnold Schwarzenegger, First Lady Bush, all these speeches to them did a good job of outreach. A lot of people said that it was a great showcase for the party to say that even though some people may have issues here and there with social agenda, that the bottom line is about security and that each and every one of these Republicans, no matter what people may think of their ideology, is absolutely for the president's stance on security and security issues. And that includes Zell Miller. All of them really talked about Zell Miller. All of them think that that is ammunition. All the things he said they plan to take home so that they can say, see, even a Democrat can say that George Bush has policies that we can stand by.
Well, the crowd certainly went wild for Zell Miller, as raging as he was last night. Artie Cornish, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Right now, we've got, Dorothy Hamill and Lynn Swann, the NFL Hall of Famer, down on the podium, and the crowd warming up for the president tonight. We are live at Madison Square Garden, counting down to President Bush's big acceptance speech. You can join the conversation tonight. What do you want to hear from President Bush tonight? Do you expect more fire and brimstone and denunciation or something else? What's the most honest, important thing the president could say to the country tonight? To you tonight. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'll be hearing in this hour from Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, from Kansas Senator Sam Brownback, and more. But first, I want to turn to John Harwood, National Political Editor at the Wall Street Journal, who joins me now in New York. John, thanks for being with us again.
Great to be here.
And from Washington in this hour, syndicated columnist Mona Sharon, author of Useful Idiots, How Liberals Got It Wrong in the Cold War and Still Blame America First. Mona Sharon, thanks a lot for joining us from Washington tonight.
My pleasure.
Mona, let me go first to you. You've been in New York, and you've been watching from Washington as well. You've seen the parade of speeches this week. What do you think President Bush needs to deliver tonight?
I think the president does have to outline his plans for a second term. It does have to be forward-looking. But I depart a little bit from the conventional wisdom here because I think that there are, you know, a few big themes in every election, and this one, very rightly, is national security. This president needed to, I think, come out from under all of that garbage that has been accumulating over the last 8 months, whether it was that he lied in his State of the Union address, which I think is untrue, you know, the so-called 16 words, the accusations that he has screwed it up in Iraq, and so on and so forth. I mean, the most potent criticisms of Bush are not about domestic policy. They are about his conduct of foreign policy, and that is what this election is about.
So you think the president needs to come out and stand pretty much with the themes we've heard throughout this week, looking at the war on terror, looking at his stature as a wartime leader, no apologies?
Not only no apologies, but explanations of some of the things that have been said about him that are just wrong. You know, I think he really needs to come out swinging and say, you know, that he said nothing that was wrong or inaccurate about Iraqi search for yellow cake in Niger. He needs to say that based on the information he had at the time, he made the very best decision that he could make regarding the nature of Iraq's threat. You know, I think he should not be defensive about any of that, because it should be the challenge of the Democrat to say that based on the evidence then available, he would not have acted. I mean, after all, that it was the lesson of 9/11, wasn't it? That we had all of these bits and pieces of information, and so, you know, to use the cliche, nobody connected the dots. Mm-hmm. Well, Bush says, I'm not going to be in that position. I'm going to connect the dots. And if I turn out to have been mistaken, it's only on, first of all, it's on the basis of bad information, not that he lied. But second, that the outcome was, okay, perhaps Saddam Hussein didn't have weapons of mass destruction, and we did lose some wonderful Americans, but we liberated a country that was key to our future security.
We'll come back and look at that. John Harwood, quickly, the challenge for the president tonight, how do you see it?
I think he does have to lay out a second-term agenda, and we're going to hear that on Social Security and taxes. You can't stand for the presidency, especially at a time when the economy is struggling, and not have something to fill in the blanks on. But I agree with Mona to this extent. He has said he's a war president and he's a war candidate. That's the issue that is ultimately the underpinning of his campaign. On the negative side, that is the destruction of John Kerry's credibility on national security. On the positive side, he needs to justify for the American people why we went to war in Iraq and how it relates to the broader struggle that began on 9/11 or that America engaged on 9/11.
John Harwood, Mona Charon, stand by. I spoke earlier today with Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist of Tennessee. I asked him what he expects to hear from the president tonight.
We've had 3 days of defining a little bit about the past, beginning to prepare for the future, a contrast between John Kerry and President Bush. The president, and now just not too long from now, has the objective of setting out the agenda for America and demonstrate that he is the one who can move America forward versus John Kerry, who will hold America back. And that's exactly what John Kerry has done in the United States Senate. And it's been framed well, I think, in preparation for this Moving America Forward.
There has been very little about the forward look so far in this convention. It's been about 9/11. It's been about the need for strong leadership. That puts a big burden on the president's shoulders tonight. Where do you expect to see specific policy proposals or vision put out by the president?
Well, it'll be in several areas. And the portrait has been painted, and this is the final color being added. So this is a crescendo. We're three-quarters of the way through the convention. We have a quarter to go tonight. And in that quarter, we're going to hear about jobs and the economy, the importance of an ownership society, which would include, and this is all looking ahead, a Social Security plan that involves some sort of personal ownership rather than a pay-as-you-go system, which we know clearly cannot be sustained over time. In my own field of healthcare, you can hear the president talk about instead of just another government program, another government handout, which doesn't address what bothers you and me and Americans, and that is the cost of healthcare, that the president is going to say we need to fix it from below at the grassroots. We need to do it in a way with a consumer-driven system that is patient-friendly, that is provider-friendly. And to do that, you need to get rid of excessive costs, like the frivolous lawsuits, which add over $100 billion to healthcare today. That's what he's going to be doing. It's exciting. He'll talk about health care. He'll talk about jobs in the economy. He'll talk about those issues that touch individual Americans.
What about the hot-button social issues, abortion, gay marriage, stem cell research? Will the president get into those?
Well, you know, I addressed stem cell research on the floor two nights ago, and I put both the president's policy out there as well as the reasons. Talked about the fact that right now John Kerry, shamefully, I say, says there's a ban on stem cell research. That's absolutely not true. This president is the first president to fund stem cell research, embryonic, as well as adult stem cell research.
But, of course, there are clear limits, and other countries are kind of forging ahead, and there's more demand in this.
Yeah, that's right. And I said the other night, it's because the American people do place moral significance on the fact that the human embryo is living, it's biologically human, and it's fully differentiated.
Will the president say that?
I don't know. I have no idea. He has said it before. I said it at the convention in a speech which was on health care.
And we heard
but
that.
What I think it's more like if the president's going to touch the issues that are important, like jobs and the economy, as I said, health care, the sort of issues that everybody feels every day. And then I don't know. I haven't seen the speech in terms of the details.
And the big foreign policy issue, Iraq. What will he say about the future of America's involvement in Iraq?
That he will ultimately come back that this is going to take a long time. That we are not going to give up. He'll make the statement, it's already been framed in terms of the past of why we got to where we are, but we're not going to waffle. He's going to lead boldly in Iraq. He's going to lead with courage. He's going to give full support to our troops. He's not going to be waffling. And how much further he goes, I'm not sure. Ultimately, this war on terror is the number one thing that affects the security of everybody listening to me, and the United States is going to win that war. Not in the next week, not in the next month, probably not in the next year, but we're going to stay at it till we win it.
Is the war in Iraq, the war on terror, are they the same thing?
They're probably different. The American people actually think that they are the same. We know we had a terrorist, Saddam Hussein, who killed hundreds of thousands of his own people, who developed weapons of mass destruction and used chemical weapons on his own people, who invaded two nations, who went to war to the United States.
But are we not provoking? We're now breeding more terrorists than we're getting rid of in Iraq. Is that possible?
It is not. Well, I don't know if it's possible. I guess it is possible. What we do know, the one thing for certain, is that we've got 50 million people free today that were not free 3 years ago. Two-thirds of the al-Qaeda, which are the number one terrorist, I think, in most people's minds, have been eliminated today. And two terrorist regimes, rogue regimes, have been eliminated. And with that sort of leadership in the past, people have that confidence that President Bush will lead boldly and courageously in the future.
Bill Frist, quickly, last night, did Zell Miller go too far? Was he off the charts?
No. Well, he was off the charts in a very positive way, and it was a tough speech. I mean, when you have somebody who has sat side by side, in essence, with John Kerry in the United States Senate, who is of the same party, who caucuses with John Kerry, and basically said, this man will take the country in the wrong direction. It's a unique perspective.
Is dissent in this country tantamount to an attack on the commander-in-chief? He essentially said that last night.
Well, I'll let the words speak for themselves. I think that in terms of trying to drag Bush down, there's no question about that. I see filibuster after filibuster.
The commander-in-chief is a role. It's a former role. It's the head of our military forces in the world. Is dissent really an attack on the commander-in-chief? Isn't dissent part of what our democracy guarantees?
Dissent is, and the right to vote is. I would argue that individuals who vote against funding things like the Apache helicopter, the B-1 fighter, the B-1 bomber, B-2 bomber, F-14 fighter, F-15 fighter, F-16 fighter.
So you've got Zell's list.
That's exactly right. It says a lot. Would President Bush do that? No. Did John Kerry? Yes. What does that speak to the future? It's obvious.
Senator Frist, thanks very much for joining
us. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist of Tennessee speaking with me earlier. John Harwood, there he is, sounding pretty confident. Do you expect to hear vinegar from the president tonight or something softer than we've heard?
Oh, it's going to be softer. I think the whole purpose of tonight is for the president to be positive about his agenda. He does need to defend himself on the war, and he'll do some contrasting with John Kerry, but it's not going to be anywhere near as hot and pointed as Zell Miller was.
We'll come back and look at that. Mona Charon in Washington, John Harwood with me right here in New York. Stand by. We've got to take a short break. We are looking straight at President Bush tonight and what he needs to say in New York. You can join the conversation. What do you need to hear from the president tonight? Do you expect more of the same or something different from George W. Bush? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, live again tonight at the Republican National Convention in New York, the last night of the convention. President Bush is in the city. He's been in the hall this afternoon, warming up at the podium. We're joined tonight by Mona Charon, columnist, joining us from Washington, D.C., listening in from there, and here in New York by John Harwood, national political editor for The Wall Street Journal. I spoke earlier today with Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania, noted Republican conservative. I asked him what the president should focus on in his speech tonight.
The major focus of the Democratic campaign, the major focus of this campaign, the major focus in America is the issue of national security and the war on what I call Islamic fundamentalism and fascism. And that, to me, is sort of the overarching issue. You know, economic issues are important. They're certainly important in parts of my state, I can tell you, and as well as cultural issues are important. But I suspect they will continue to play somewhat second fiddle, as they did at the Democratic Convention, to national security.
Yet once we get past the election, those are going to be back on
sure.
the burner.
You know,
if there's a second Bush term, George W. Bush term, Rick Santorum, what do you hope for on the conservative social agenda?
You've got sort of several levels. Number one, I think it's important that we have the appointment of common sense judges. To me, that's sort of where the left has been able to sort of hijack America by having judges, you know, rule that legislatures must do certain things that the public doesn't want. That's not the role of the courts. The role of the courts is to interpret the law, not make the law. And so that to me, is one of the real key issues.
And a big opportunity, no doubt, for George Bush in the second term, on the Supreme Court in particular, perhaps.
Well, potentially. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I remember in the last election, everyone thought there'd be Supreme Court justice appointed. And, I mean, I've been in the United States Senate for 10 years. I've never voted on a Supreme Court justice.
They do hang on.
So they do hang on. So the idea that, well, you know, he's going to have several judges. Well, justices, maybe. Maybe not.
Senator Brownback in New York this week plumping for legislation that would require women who want abortions to be informed that they might want anesthetic for the fetus.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, some of the issues around abortion are important. Anytime we talk about any kind of informed consent, any kind of information going to the mother about the procedure that she's going through and how the impact on her body or the impact on the child, any of that kind of informed consent is rejected by those who are for abortion on demand. I don't know how you can say that you are pro-women's health and yet reject information going to women about their body and about what is in their body, which is in the womb. But that's what happens. I mean, it's this knee-jerk reaction. No, you're trying to somehow do something to stop women from having abortions when... Candidly, I think women have a right to have the information that is available about what's going to be happening to them.
Senator Santorum, final question. Is it your GOP that's been portrayed this week in Manhattan? As you say, it wasn't much on the social front.
No.
Is it your party?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I had a chance to speak, so it's certainly...
I guess it's the prime time issue.
It wasn't prime time, but yeah, I think it was. I can't think of anything that Arnold or Rudy or you know, John McCain or any of the, quote, moderates said that I disagree with. The difference is between the Republican Party and Democratic Party is that people are going to find this, you know, incredible based on what the media says. We're very tolerant. I accept John McCain and Rudy Giuliani and people who disagree with me on issues in our party if they agree with us, you know, more often than they disagree, and if they agree with us on some of the most important issues, even if not all of the most important issues. And not only do I welcome them, but I'm going to give them the opportunity to talk about where they agree with us. And in fact, we showed the American public not only what we believe in from a policy point of view, but how we govern from the standpoint of having a broader base party than what the Democrats. If you were a Democrat, you had to sort of take a blood test to see if you sort of went down the line and agreed with every single thing that was in the platform of the John Kerry. And if you didn't, you were nowhere. that's not the way we govern it as a Republican. That's not the way we operate. We believe that that you have to have a coalition to be able to get the things done that are necessary for America, and that's what we're doing.
Rick Santorum, how do you feel about the president's prospects coming out of this convention in New York?
Well, I'll be in Scranton with him tomorrow. I'll be in Erie with him on Saturday. We're going to work hard in Pennsylvania. I'll just come down to basically this. The president's in the last four polls is +1, +1, and dead even. Not in that order. That dead even was actually the second one in Pennsylvania. He lost Pennsylvania by 5 points last time. If he wins Pennsylvania, I believe he's going to. If he wins Pennsylvania, John Kerry can't be president. There's no combination of states that can make up for the 21 lost electoral votes. It was 23 for Gore. It's now only 21. But the 21 lost electoral votes out of the Gore, now Kerry column. And I think that ultimately seals the election for President Bush.
Well, there's some calculus to contemplate. Rick Santorum, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum talking with me earlier. Those cowboy hats of Texas are waving again on the convention hall floor right now. Laura Bush has just arrived in the hall in bright pink salmon. I'm not sure what you'd call it. She's now giving a little smooch to Barbara Bush and walking past former President Bush. We're watching the hall tonight as it prepares for President Bush to make his formal acceptance nominations, acceptance speech here in New York. John Harwood, you heard Rick Santorum there on social issues, what will and won't be talked about tonight. You're with the Wall Street Journal. Talk to us for a moment about the economy and what the financial world is hoping to hear President Bush say tonight.
I think the financial world's very interested in the Social Security reform issue. The investment houses like the idea of people taking 2% of their Social Security taxes and not sending it to the government, to the Social Security system, but instead putting it into accounts and investing it.
The privatized line.
Exactly. Partial privatization. The president is in favor of that. He's going to talk about that some tonight. Now, the problem that raises is how do you finance the cost? How do you move from the system we've got now to the one that we would develop under a privatization system? And one issue is, can we borrow enough money to cover those costs? That's an issue for the financial markets. Would they react by driving up interest rates? We don't know the answer to that, but they're very interested in that issue. Probably of all the domestic issues, that issue and the one of tax reform, simplification, that would involve adding some new taxes while cutting others, making the tax code a little bit flatter and easier for people to understand, that's the other issue to watch.
And if the president goes hard for maintaining the tax cuts, in fact, cutting taxes further, does that play well on Wall Street?
I think we've gotten to the point where people on Wall Street probably think we've got about enough stimulus and as much deficit as we can stand right now. They're going to be looking for certainly the problem not to get any worse, maybe get a little better in a second term.
John Harwood, wonderful to have you tonight. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
John Harwood, national political editor at the Wall Street Journal. Mona Charon in Washington, what about on the social agenda front? What do you expect from the president tonight?
Well, if I could just pick up a little bit on what John was saying, I want to just add that that health care is an issue which, if the president doesn't plan to talk about it now, really must be part of a second term if he has one, because this is something that is so crucial for the whole economy. It is crucial that Republicans bring their reform agenda to reforming health care rather than have it done the way the Democrats would do it. And it is absolutely a certainty that the next Democratic administration that gets in would do a very different kind of reform, a reform more in the direction of the Canadian system or the British healthcare system, a very centralized, nationalized healthcare program, which we know does not work and which most Americans would shrink from. But there are lots of things that this president could do, should he win a second term, to introduce free market reforms into the healthcare system, medical savings accounts, decoupling health insurance from the employer by changing the tax code so that people will not have that worry about portability and so forth. Those are all things that I think I would much prefer to see a Republican reform effort aimed at than a Democratic reform effort.
Mona Charon, stand by for a moment. I'm joined here in Madison Square Garden right now by Senator Brownback of Kansas. Great to have you, Senator. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Happy to be able to join you.
We can see down on the convention hall floor, the Democrats had a big lineup of military men. Now there looks like a lot of vets on the podium in advance of the president's arrival.
Yes.
Right now, General Tommy Franks coming up soon. Senator Brownback, what do you hope for, what do you expect from President Bush tonight?
A big policy message. I think the thing that he needs to cap the convention off with is a series of policy initiatives clearly focused on three major topics: jobs, job creation, security issues, and then the overall values agenda. I think these are kind of the three big areas that are really resonating, that the country's concerned about. And I want the rest of the sprint to the fall, to November, to be about a series of policy issues, because I really think George Bush trumps on those topics.
You have been talking in New York this week about values, about a culture war that must be won. What is that culture war?
A culture of life, celebrating a culture of life, support for traditional marriage. And it's a broader issue than just when people hear culture of life, okay, that's shorthand for abortion or pro-life. But when I got to speak Tuesday night, what I talked about, a culture of life is to celebrate every life, every place, at every stage. So that's why we fight so hard for Sudan and Sudanese refugees, or what's happening in North Korea, or for a person that's been trafficked, human trafficked. And it also applies to the child in the womb and the mother carrying that child. So I want that agenda to be seen as what it is, a very broad, encompassing, and uplifting agenda.
Do you expect George Bush to get into that tonight, or is that too live a wire? Does that drive away, middle-of-the-road swing voters?
No, I think you hear him address it. It is a majority position of the American public now. The American public is pro-life. The American public solidly supports marriage. You look at Missouri, a swing state, had a big vote on this in their constitution. 71% voted for it. So these are not things to shy away from, even though a lot of times in the press they're seen as divisive issues. But when you poll them, the country is solidly on these two issues. What they need to be said is in a very engaging, loving way, that this isn't about the mother versus the child. It's about both the mother and the child.
Speaking of engaging and loving, what do you think of the tone overall of the convention this week? There's been some very hard-hitting speeches, and particularly last night, Zell Miller really made people's hair stand on end with joy or with shock, depending where you sit. What do you think of the overall tone?
I think the overall tone has been good. And particularly, I liked Dick Cheney's tone last night on the topic he was given. Security. It's a serious issue. He handles it seriously. I don't like the flaming rhetoric really from either side. And some of it gets overboard. But I think overall, when you look at all three nights thus far and then looking in tonight, I think the tone overall has been quite good.
Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, thanks so much for joining us here in Madison Square Garden.
Good to join you.
Let's go down to the convention hall floor right now, where retired General Tommy Franks is at the microphone. Former chief of U.S. Central Command.
That introduction made me want to step out here and say hi. I'm Tommy Franks, and I approve that message. Wow, this convention rocks. As P.X. Kelly said, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat, but I believe in democracy and I believe in America.
Huge images of U.S. soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan on the screen behind Tommy Franks.
For decades as a soldier, I've been independent. Now, there are those who would say very independent. But here I stand tonight endorsing George W. Bush to be the next president of the United States. Look, America is a land of opportunity. America is a land of choice. And a great wartime President Franklin Roosevelt once said, democracy cannot succeed unless those who express their choice are prepared to choose wisely. Delegates, friends, I'm prepared to choose wisely, and I choose George W. Bush. And indeed, I'm honored to join American patriots on this stage. men who know as our troopers' moms and dads and husbands and wives know that freedom is never free. Freedom is never free. And these men are men who stepped forward to lead America's sons and daughters. They led them selflessly. They remained loyal to their country and loyal to their troops. And I join them in saluting our Commander-in-Chief, George W. Bush.
A formal military-style salute from General Tommy
George
Franks
w.
at the podium.
Bush. America finds itself today at an important crease in history. The attacks of September 11th brought a new enemy to our shores, an enemy unlike we've ever faced before. Our nation is safer today because we have hardened our defenses. We have also taken the fight to the terrorists. And we still have work to do. The global war on terrorism will be a long fight. But make no mistake about it, we are going to fight the terrorists. The question is, do we fight them over there, or do we fight them here?
The fight them here or fight them there formula that we've heard a lot about this week. Republicans saying they're winning by fighting there.
I choose to fight them over there. Now, some argue that we should treat this war as a law enforcement issue. And some say we should fight a less aggressive war, that we should retreat into a defensive posture and hope that the terrorists don't attack us again. Well, my wife, Kathy, and I are simply not willing to bet the future of our grandchildren on the goodwill of murderers. I learned a long time ago that hope, while so terribly important, is not a strategy. In the years ahead, America will be called upon to demonstrate character, consistency, courage, and leadership. You know, Lincoln once said, "Character is like a tree, and reputation its shadow." The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing. Well, citizens and friends, I've been with this president in tough and uncertain times, and George W. Bush is the real thing. He is the real thing. The past 3 years have been hard years. Hard years, a time of hard decisions and tough choices. I've looked into this man's eyes and I have seen his character. I've seen courage. I've seen consistency, the courage to stand up to terrorists, and the consistency necessary to beat them.
General Tommy Franks addressing the Republican National Convention. This is On Point.
In the battle for Afghanistan, we removed a regime that provided the Afghanistan and Iraq. Terrorism and tyranny are being replaced by freedom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, coming to you live from Madison Square Garden in New York. And the Republican National Convention, retired General Tommy Franks at the podium right now, wholeheartedly endorsing General, or I should say President, George W. Bush. And the crowd is loving it. I am joined tonight from Washington by conservative syndicated columnist Mona Charon, and with me right now at Madison Square Garden, Charles Babington, staff writer for The Washington Post, chief political correspondent for WashingtonPost.com. Charles Babington, thanks for being with us tonight.
My pleasure, Tom.
So here's a big welcome ovation from General Tommy Franks, the president himself coming up before too long, Governor Pataki before that. Charles Babington, you've been watching all this as we roll along. Not a lot about future plans. That's been left for the president. What do you know? What is known about the particulars that the president may reel off tonight as an agenda for a second term?
Well, you make a good point, Tom, that so much of the past 3 days have been about the war on terror. And as Senator Santorum said, everything else really is playing second fiddle. Mm-hmm. So the president is going to have to address some of the domestic issues, certainly jobs, the economy. But, you know, I don't look for a whole lot of specifics from him. You know, John Hardwood was talking earlier about these sticky issues such as reforming Social Security.
Yep.
It's a controversial issue, as you know. I'd be very surprised if the president got into any details tonight because it's the type of thing that gets, you know, some people upset. So if he does win re-election, then he's going to have to come forward with some proposed answers to the types of questions that John was raising. So I think you're going to, a couple of words you can look for tonight, transform or transformation. He seems to like that word a lot now. I'm not always sure what it means, but he talks about how liberty can transform countries. So he's talking about foreign affairs there, but he's also talking about transforming social programs such as Social Security that he says are now behind the times, where he uses a line that says they're for yesterday and not for tomorrow.
And another challenge the president faces tonight, this issue of the middle ground or the swing voter on the one hand, the very conservative or conservative base on the other. We've been hearing tonight that the strategy may be just to go for that base, that there's a lot of voting power to be dug out there. Do you think he's going to try and straddle, or is he ready to really turn to that right-hand flank and invite it in hard?
Well, certainly the past couple of nights have really, especially with Zell Miller, was clearly, I think, directed at the base, stirring up the base. I do think that the president, for one thing, it's unpresidential for him to go on a type of attack such as Zell Miller did. So he can't do that because of the office that he holds. But I think he's going to probably do some of both. I think he does going to have to try to reach to the swing vote that's still out there. There's not very many of them, Tom, you know, because so many people already decided. But that's where he is going to have to address things such as jobs, such as the general economic situation, but also keep coming back to this theme that you'll be safer under my presidency than you would under John Kerry.
Let's go to a caller. Kevin's calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Tom, your question, I think, a little while ago was, what are we hoping to hear from Mr. Bush this evening? I just thought there are three things on my mind, if I can share them.
Please do.
The first is, I'd like to hear an element of humility. I really would like to hear him say, hey, you know what, we work real hard and we think we're doing the right thing, but we've got a couple of things wrong. You know, we didn't go get Bin Laden like we promised. We probably got the intelligence wrong on Iraq. We didn't plan for the end game quite the way we should have, and here are the things we're going to do differently in the future. So that's
okay.
The first point. The second point is, I think you need to reconcile the moderate public face of the convention with the agreed-upon, admittedly incredibly conservative platform of the party. I think those exist in stark contrast, and if you're going to have a platform, I think you ought to have the temerity to tell the American public why it's so different from what we're hearing.
Do you think those can be reconciled, Kevin?
Interestingly, Senator Santorum said a few minutes ago, and I have a great deal of respect for him, that yes, they could. And so I'd like to hear that, because I'm not smart enough to figure that out.
Okay. And third?
And the third thing is, I'd like to hear somebody at some part of the evening over a course of 3 days mention the environment. I just think that'd be a good idea. There are a few of us that care about it a little bit, and I haven't heard anything about it.
That's true, and we're all living in it. Kevin, thanks for your call from Chapel Hill. Mona Charon, how about Kevin's points? And let's go to the first one, humility. George Bush made a lot of that in his last campaign, in his inaugural address, and of course it kind of went away as circumstances changed. Do you expect to hear that tonight?
Well, I don't know that I would necessarily want him to eat crow, because I don't think that's appropriate, but I do think that it's okay for a leader to say, we do our best, we make some mistakes, we try not to make too many, we don't think the ones that we made are you know, are irreversible and so on. I mean, I have no objection to saying that, but I sense, maybe not in this caller, but in many people, that they actually think that President Bush's policies were quite wrong, and therefore they want to see him grovel and acknowledge it and admit that admit error, which I don't think he is likely to do, nor do I think he should do it. Let me say a bit, though, about the nature of this election, because I do think that the essential divide between liberals and conservatives and Democrats and Republicans comes down to this. What is the nature of this election? The Republican message this week has been, this is a momentous election, that the security and safety of your kids and yourself rest on the choice you make in the voting booth on November 2nd. Whereas the Democrats have had a far more diffuse message. It's sort of unclear. John Kerry attempted to say that George Bush has screwed up the war. He didn't use that term. He used a more vulgar expression. But in any case, he said that, but he hasn't said what he would do. He hasn't outlined how he would address the war on terror, and he doesn't have a particularly ambitious domestic agenda. It's a lot of warmed-over liberalism from the last 20 years. So the Democrats, it seems to me, are treating this as just another election, sort of business as usual, and the Republicans are saying, no, this is of historic consequence.
Well, we may argue about the clarity, but I'm not sure I could agree on the business as usual. We heard a lot of fervor from the Democrats there, whether or not you like the package that it's coming in. I want to chair in Charles Bevington, standby. Earlier, I spoke with noted conservative political commentator Pat Buchanan. I asked him what he thinks George Bush needs to say tonight.
I think the one thing he needs is to offer some kind of vision of what the next 4 years will bring in positive terms if the country reelects him. I think that clearly he's going to defend his role in the war on terror, and he's going to speak of national security, which are his strong points, his really strong suits. But I think he's going to have something for the future, something unexpected. And if I were advising him, I would tell him, and not only for the reasons it's good for the country, but for his own political advantage, that what he ought to say is, I'm a man that's always believed we are a nation of immigrants, and I also believe we are a nation of laws. And as President of the United States, I'm going to enforce the immigration laws of this country, even if it means putting American troops on the southern border of the United States.
Of course, he's really sent quite a different message from that so far.
He's sent a different message, and one of the reasons he's got real trouble, I can tell you, in the Southwest, is this amnesty proposal. Now, the president says it's not amnesty, but when you got 8 to 14 million people who have broken the law, broken into our country, and you say they can stay, that's amnesty.
Pat, you're an analyst. You've also got a lot of your own views, and I want to get to those. But let me ask you one more thing before we do. How do you think the theme struck thus far at the convention this week is going to work for the president? How would you describe it? How do you think it's going to work for him?
Any political convention should do three things. The first is you've got to have speakers who can convincingly make the case that the incumbent president has done a splendid job, and it is essential that the country have him for 4 more years. The second is you have to convince the country that the alternative is utterly unacceptable. In other words, you have to skewer John Kerry.
And they've done that hard.
Oh, brother, they have done it. I thought Rudy Giuliani did it very effectively with a smile, mockery, and ridicule, but that was not on the big networks.
That's right.
Zell Miller made prime time. And he did a magnificent job of it, in my judgment. And people will say, well, he shouldn't have said those things. It's over the top. I say, well, you know, well, that's Zell's a Democrat. You see, we can't control Zell. And so, I think Zell did it.
Bang the opponent. And number three?
And number three is a vision of the future. And people want something to be for, these Republicans do, and it should be something rooted in Republican principles. Maybe the president could very well come out with something tonight on taxation. It's one of the issues about which all Republicans, we're all low-tax people, even us ex-renegade Republicans.
Now, to look at where Pat Buchanan's looking on this, you've got this new book out, Where the Right Went Wrong.
Right.
You say that the spirit of true conservatism appears to be dead. Of course, that's supposed to reside in the Republican Party. Hmm. What would the president have to say, apart from closing the borders, even with troops,
right,
to please Pat Buchanan Republicans, conservatives, tonight?
I think if he got up and said, he had a good line, I think it was in the State of the Union, we are not an empire, and we're going to begin bringing troops home to the United States and Iraq. We're going to do our best, and I would like to see him say something about trade deals that There are going to be no more trade deals that export the manufacturing jobs of American workers and force down the standard of living of American workers and imperil our industrial base. But I'm not going to hear that. I know that.
What about Iraq, Middle East, Israel?
Well, in my view, that wouldn't help him politically. I would like to see him speak the truth about the Israeli conflict, which is Israel's a friend and we're dedicated to her security and survival. But the United States of America has interests that are different than those of Israel and views that are different, and we do not believe that the Israeli wall should be, the security wall should snake in and out of Palestinian territory. We believe the Palestinians have a right to a state and a homeland of their own with its capital in Arab East Jerusalem, and if that does not happen, there will be no peace. But you're not going to get that, and so I might as well. Some of these things are possibilities, but not that.
Is it possible, with what John Kerry's saying on trade, with what he's saying on bringing troops home, that Pat Buchanan might curve a little closer to John Kerry than George Bush this year?
Well, when John Kerry says he not only voted to give the president a blank check to go to war, he would have voted to do so even if he knew there were no weapons of mass destruction, and even if he knew Saddam Hussein had no role in 9/11, John Kerry has basically taken the Wolfowitz position. And I don't think I can go with that.
Okay. How's this race shaping up? What's the momentum right now, Pat?
The momentum is all in the president's direction. I would be surprised if the president does not come out of here, say, by Monday or Tuesday without a 5-point lead. I think he might have that even more. I think Kerry has lost his momentum. As I told someone, he may not have been under fire on the Bohop River, but he sure is now from those swift boat veterans, and I think they've been devastating because they themselves ring so authentic. These are not actors. These are Vietnam vets who are, many of whom have suffered, some of whom have spent six years in POW camps, saying, you know, they're playing us John Kerry speeches when we're being tortured to say the things over there and where we won't. And he's back there telling those lies for free.
And those ads are all over the place right now, even if John Kerry's refuting them. The ads are everywhere.
It's not only that I don't think the ads themselves, the buys have been so big, but on my MSNBC show for 2 weeks before the convention, we did swift boats almost every night, and one of the reasons was the public could not get enough of it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how Americans interpret all of this. Pat Buchanan, always great talking with you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much. I always enjoy doing it.
Pat Buchanan talking with me earlier today. Republicans having a musical interlude on the floor of the convention hall right now. Charles Babington, what do you know about who's put their stamp on this speech tonight? We saw Karen Hughes walk by not long ago. I know she's had some role in it. What's the origin?
Well, these things go through all kinds of vetting. It sounds like a pretty painful process, and I think this White House is not terribly different from the way that others have done it. You have a chief speechwriter, Mr. Gerson in this case, who obviously he knows, you know, all the main themes that they want to. He'll put together a draft some weeks ago, and then they start letting, you know, a lot of people look at it and go through it. And what the president generally will try to do is have a fairly small group that's in the room when they really start vetting it and making changes. Certainly Karen Hughes would be one of the people in that. I think Dan Bartlett, chief of communications. And they try, one thing, you've got to try to get it under control because, you know, next thing you know, this cabinet secretary or this head of some organization will want to have their say. And at some point, you've got to get that under control.
Gerson wrote the foundation, I guess, for the last convention address. President Bush, not yet president then, was pretty peppery at the last convention. He went after Al Gore, said, I don't need to take your pulse before I know my mind. I do not reinvent myself at every turn. I'm not running in borrowed clothes of Al Gore in 2000. Do you expect him to be peppery in his speech with John Kerry tonight?
Well, obviously, he's under totally different circumstances. He's the incumbent president, and he's been president for 4 years. But he has, you know, Tom, one of the things that we've seen that's certainly a hallmark of this convention has been the very strong attacks on Kerry, very different from the Democratic convention in Boston, where they really went almost entirely positive, except for when Al Sharpton got off message for a brief time. Now, and also the other thing is that we saw President Bush quite some time ago, both in his TV commercials and in his, moving around the country, attacking Kerry fairly often. So I don't think he can stay away from that. He's going to have to do some of that tonight. But he's still got to talk about all these other things and try to keep it within 50 minutes.
Well, we will all see it, and we'll see it before too long. As the convention hall now, they've got a kind of a Western motif. It's a great sunset sky in the convention hall on the big photo screen tonight. Much more to come with President Bush. In Washington, Mona Charon, thank you very much for joining us tonight. It was great to have you.
Thank you.
Mona Charon, syndicated columnist and author of Useful Idiots, and Charles Babington, staff writer with The Washington Post, right here with us in Madison Square Garden. Thanks for being with us tonight.
My pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook, the president still to come. This is On Point.